Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is Red Team Zero, and welcome back to our political podcast. But this isn't going to be really much of a news discussion. This is going to be more of a discussion about the certain events that have gone on, such as the Jussie Smollett case, the conservative that was attacked on UC Berkeley, and maybe some other events involved there. But it's just going to be mainly this for now. I might do another podcast later today. But I might also probably either forget or not do it due to some other reasons. But other than that, that's really what I got for the intro. So let's move on to the subject. So the first subject is Jussie Smollett. He was the Empire actor who faked not faked, but he made a hoax about him being attacked by most likely Trump supporters. Because I did see the report, and they said, like, I think, quote, MAGA country. And I was guessing he was trying to say that they were Trump supporters or at least conservatives, which I found as suspicious because this is the really big thing nowadays, is that conservatives can be attacked so much. And this is going to even relate to the UC Berkeley incident, but we're obviously not going to discuss it yet. But back to the subject. The real thing is that conservatives now, they can be blamed for so many hate attacks. While if you even attack a Democrat for saying something offensive, people are actually going to investigate it. They're actually going to go into this. And if they don't find enough evidence, as in subtitles, enough evidence, it's not going to be convicted. But for a conservative, if they're attacked for a hate crime, they're going to be completely blamed for it. They're going to be going full on. They're not even maybe, they might either go on full on investigation mode, or they'll just go on no investigation mode. It took, I think, at least 10 days to find this guy. And that was, I think, on Friday or so. And I actually expected him not to get caught. Because the fact is, I believe that UC Berkeley was going to interfere with the incident. And they were going to probably try saying, no, the student wasn't attacking him. He probably sent an insult to him that was either personal or such. And he responded back. It's like, well, that's still assault. But they would just be trying to take it away from political. And this is what I actually learned yesterday. UC Berkeley is actually one of the most liberal colleges we have in, I think, California. It is one of the most liberal colleges. Many incidents like this have happened before. This is not like it happened for what, like the first time in its school history. This has happened many times before, just not as big. Because those ones have happened either with the camera or not, and we have no idea. And I'm guessing there's been a lot of attacks, as I've said. But back to the Jussie Smollett case. So he was convicted. I think it's about $100,000 bail on him. I'm not sure if they've started the trial yet, but I know that they are going to start the trial in about either early March or maybe closer to middle March, maybe even during spring break. Depends on the justice system in Chicago. And that's and it's really de it really just depends on who you would say go to. If you go to like New York City, they might take some months to do it. If you go to like Arizona, they might take a few days to get the trial organized. It's just gonna really depend on where you are and how effective the defense system, the prosecutors and such are able to organize this trial. But I'm at least thinking that he's going to be convicted for, I think, 3 to 5 years for, I think, obstruction of justice and such. I don't think it's gonna be anything long. I don't think so because it didn't hurt anyone other than maybe him. But yeah, he's still gonna go to prison for at least a few years, as I said. But the Jussie Smollett case, again, it's still being investigated thoroughly. They have found that smoking gun, but they have not been sure about if it's actually correct. Because even though they found the people who supposedly assaulted him, and they've in fact found new footage and such, they're still gonna have to investigate this because this is kind of like the Cosby case. Because you even if you have a very strong case, you might still not be able to convict him because it's not the prosecutors or the defense that really tells if he's convicted, it's the jury. And even if the jury is presented with either a large amount of evidence that he didn't convict, either did not do this crime, or he did do this crime, they could still be in a draw because This could, because they could find some evidence later that actually double sides the entire investigation. But I don't think so. I think it's going to be completely done and done. I think the trial is going to take maybe a month. It might take a month, but I think it's going to take less than a month because if they've already have, if the police department has enough evidence, and as I see, they probably do, they will very likely get this done and done. But we're going to kind of move on from that into our very next article. So the very next thing is obviously the UC Berkeley incident. Really, the updates on it are that again he's been found. I think his bail is either at $1,000 or so dollars. I think it's at $1,000 or so. Don't quote me on that, but I think it's about $1,000 for his bail. And this student actually has been known to do such things as this. He's done similar incidents, not as big or anything like that before, but he has definitely showed on campus at least that he is will do this to anyone. Like this is not like he just went out, he felt too offended or triggered, as you might say, and then did it for like the first time. No, he's been doing this probably for at least, I think, for the last 2 years or so years. So the student himself, I remember watching the CAPAC, the CPAC, and I remember seeing President Trump. And I knew his speech was like unscripted, and this is gonna kind of sway a little bit if you don't realize that. I think President Trump's speech at the CPAC was very good. I think it was great. It was definitely better than what I would think it is. And as Trump said during the speech, he is one of the most effective people when he's off script. I think he is one of the most powerful people in politics when he's off script. When he's on script, I don't think he's as great. I think that he still has some kind of influence, but he just doesn't have the really convincing power that he did during the 2016 election that he uses. Sorry, but that he uses now to keep himself. Because this is really the thing. Trump supporters, they need to be kept on their feet. We are people that really like to stay on and have something to do because, at least from what I see, because I've talked to some Trump supporters. They say they like it when President Trump is off script because he really does make the crowd go wild because he is just so great at using his own. He's just really great at using politics and even putting a little bit of comedy in them and just making everyone love it. It's just something President Trump has always had a great success at, and I still think that he's going to have a great presidency if he uses this method more and more. Because, as he said again, he is the most powerful man probably in politics, or at least one of the most powerful people when he is off script. But back to the CAPC. The CAPC, it was held, I think, last Friday and maybe even Saturday. I think it went well. Even though people, I think, tried to attack the CPAC for that because the media didn't come in and such. And I think it was right because you think conservatives are just gonna let you really videotape the CAPC? It's like, what, we're letting in literally the enemy of the quote enemy of the people by President Trump into our own conference. And this is what I find completely stupid. It's just really dumb. They want to always put the fact checkers. They always grab fact checkers on conservatives. If you ever notice about every single fact checker, it is either against a conservative or someone who speaks on a right-wing basis. It's one of the most absurd things because they're not fact-checking any Democrat. They're not fact-checking Bernie Sanders. They're not fact-checking anyone else. They are legit just fact-checking President Trump and anyone else who opposes their ideology. And it's just something that I at least see as a very big disappointment. Fact checkers could have been so much better if they actually focused on all candidates, even if it still included President Trump. But they just keep it so limited that everyone just hates them because they're just so biased, because they don't actually provide a whole story. They just say what they think, not what the actual facts say. Because they tried to attack Trump for, you would say, the economy with China and trade. They tried to attack him with it, and I saw their piece on it, and it was just bad. I think it was terrible. I think it was just really what they wanted to think. I think it was what they were thinking completely. Some of the others, yeah, they presented a pretty considerable defense of their, what they are at least thinking, or not what they're thinking, but what they believe is happening. But that one was one of the worst ones because they just, they even said in the article that President Trump, in a way, was right. But then they just decided to attack him anyways, because if we don't attack President Trump, we're going to look like racists, which is virtually the narrative of the left. If you are on Trump's side, you're a racist, homophobic, transphobic, queerphobic, I don't even know what phobic. There's so many phobias now that there's just no way you could even memorize any of them. And so, again, the CAPC is, in my opinion, going to help increase President Trump's rating. I think President Trump is going to have to use this speech as definitely one of his better, as one of his best speeches he's done in a long time. Because President Trump has not done a two-hour speech for a very long time. Like, this is something that we have not seen for, I don't even know how long. Like, I remember seeing President Trump's speeches during the rallies. They were like 3 hours long, and he had it, and he was off script for the whole thing. And I could go on for like an hour off script about subjects as long as I have a little bit of evidence with them. And I could do that for like an hour. But I don't know how President Trump and other candidates, including Democrats, can go for hours and hours without any kind of script or anything. It's just amazing. I think it's them training themselves to really go on and on. Not like you would say prolong a sentence or such, but they definitely prolong a subject so that it can sound much more detailed and much more like they know what they're doing. And President Trump knows what he's doing most of the time. I can even admit President Trump doesn't sometimes know what he's doing. I can even admit that. But I still think overall President Trump at least knows what the consequences and what else is going to happen. If he signs a bill, he does an executive order, he meets with another country and such, I think he knows that. But again, there's nothing really else other than the CAPC really than the message, kind of like me, that the left has continued to become more regressive, the Green New Deal is just become worse and worse, and all of the other conservative kind of crap, I would say. And I'm not saying that in the bad way. I'm just saying because I don't like to repeat conservatism too much. Even though you might say, but you repeat it every time in your podcast. Well, I put it with actual like evidence from other articles. And I even discuss other sides' point of views. Because that then makes it less of a rant and more of a discussion. And that's obviously why this is a discussion. And so it just really keeps the, at least you, the audience, more intrigued. Because I at least think that you should have discussions on certain events. You should still have media coverage. You still should do coverage on media articles and breaking news. Because you can't just keep it at just discussions. Because I've always said this. If you keep it at one thing, your podcast and whatever, it's just going to die. There's no doubt about it, and it's just going to die. No one's going to listen to it because everyone's just going to get bored. And then they're just going to say, nah, I don't want to listen to him. I want to listen to something else. And that's why I try to keep it more and more from just one thing. Because if one thing dictates the whole podcast, this whole podcast would probably be downhill. It would not have any traction. It would just fall to the bottom of the ocean and never rise back up. But that's really what I got to say for this podcast. So again, I might try the podcast later today, such as at 7 or such, if there's any news I really want to get into. If I'm ready for the podcast, because as you know, I haven't made a podcast for a long time. So I don't have my great skills of going off script for a long time as I did before. But I am still hoping to try recovering at least some. Because in my personal opinion about this, I don't think I spoke very well. I think I'm kind of disorganized. I sometimes kind of stop and you can tell I kind of am thinking about something as I'm going. Because before, I could just think of something as I'm speaking, put that next and continue doing that over and over again for an entire podcast. But as I've said, that's going to really end it right here. I hope you continue to support me. I hope you also continue to spread the message to your friends to either listen or about the new articles we've discussed and sometimes have even broken before. So thank you very much again for the third time again for listening. I hope you have a great rest of your day and I hope you have a great tomorrow.